Artas,
Artasha,
Kamas,
Kamas,
Cha,
Cha,
Dharmas,
Dharmas,
Cha,
Cha,
Yat,
Yat,
Apashrayaha,
Apashrayaha,
Bhajata,
Bhajata,
Aniha,
Aniha,
Anihaya,
Anihaya,
Atmanam,
Atmanam,
Aniham,
Aniham,
Harim,
Harim,
Isharam,
Isharam,
Tasmad artascha kamascha dharmascha yat apashrayaha bhajata nihayatmanam aniham harim isharam Tasmad artascha kamascha dharmascha yat apashrayaha bhajata nihayatmanam aniham harimisharam.
So, well, if you actually have, let's break it out.
Rip open the cellophane.
We just had them donated. I don't have my specs. What did you want me to do?
Change the verse.
I don't have my specs.
Underspect.
Underspect.
Well, you know what?
It would only be speculations.
These are the ones that you gave me. So being that you gave me, can we get hard and work for you? Oh, I'm sorry. Can't those chapters seem
7:48. That's just to get me to make noise. Tasmad artascha kamascha
Tasmad artascha kamascha
Dharmascha yadapashrayaha
Dharmascha yadapashrayaha
Bhajatani hayatmanam
Bhajatani hayatmanam
Aniham harim ishwaram
Aniham harim ishwaram.
Tasmad artascha kamascha
dharmascha
yadapashrayaha
dharmascha yadapashrayaha
bhajatani nihayatmanam
bhajatani nihayatmanam
aniham harimishwaram
aniham harimishwaram.
Tasmad artascha kamascha
dharmascha yad apashraya
apashraya dharmascha
yad apashraya
Tasmad
artascha kamascha
dharmascha
yad apashraya
bhajatani hayatmanam
bhajatani hayatmanam
7:48
Tasmad
artascha kamascha
dharmascha
yad apashraya
bhajatani
hayatmanam
aniham
harimishwaram.
Tasmad artascha kamascha
dharmascha yad apashraya
dharmascha yadapashraya
bhajatani hayatmanam
bhajatani hayatmanam
aniham
harinishvaram
tasmat
artasya kamascha
dharmascha
yadapashraya bhajatani yadatmanam
aniham
harinishvaram
tasmat
artasya kamascha dharmascha yadapashraya bhajatani hayatmanam
aniham
harinishvaram
tasmat
therefore
artah
ambitions for economic development
cha
and
kamah
ambitions for satisfaction of the senses
cha
also
dharmah
duties of religion
cha
and
Yat
upon whom?
Apashraya
dependence.
Pajata
worship.
Anihaya
without desire for them.
Atmanam
the supersoul.
Aniham
indifferent.
Harim
the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Isharam,
the Lord.
The four principles of advancement in spiritual life, dharma, artha, kama, and moksha, all depend on the disposition of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, my dear friends, follow in the footsteps of devotees. Without desire, fully depend upon the disposition of the Supreme Lord, worship Him, the Supersoul, in devotional service. Purport. These are words of intelligence. Everyone should know that in every stage of life, we are dependent upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, the Dharma, religion, which we accept, should be that which is recommended by Prahlad Maharaj, Bhagavat Dharma. This is the instruction of Krishna. Sarva Dharman Parityajya Mam Ekam Sharanam Braja. To take shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna means to act according to the rules and regulations of Bhagavat Dharma, devotional service. As far as economic development is concerned, we should discharge our occupational duties but fully depend on the lotus feet of the Lord for the results. Karmanyeva adhikaraste ma paleshu kadachan. You have a right to perform your prescribed duty, but you are not entitled to the fruits of action. According to one's position, one should perform his duties, but for the results, one should fully depend upon Krishna. Narottam Das Thakur sings that our only desire should be to perform the duties of Krishna consciousness. We should not be misled by the Karma Mimamsa philosophy, which concludes that if we work seriously, the results will come automatically. This is not a fact. The ultimate result depends upon the will of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In devotional service, therefore, the devotee completely depends upon the Lord and honestly performs his occupational duties. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj advised his friends to depend completely on Krishna and worship him in devotional service.
Om Ajnana Sinirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Shakshinmiditam Tena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manopistam Sahabitam Tena Gurave svayam rupa katamayam tathati svanaptikam pandeham shri guru shri tathata tamalam shri guru vaishnavamsa shri rupam sadrashatam sahadaga gaganatam kritamakam sajivam sadvaitam sadhutam Krishna Saitam Krishna Saitam Devam Sri Radha Krishna Adan Shahana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitansha E Krishna Krishna Sindhu Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Nanda Radha Kanta Tapta Tanshya Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishadhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Rani Priye Vanchar Kalpa Tarunyasya Kripa Sindhu Devacha Adhitanam Padaneyo Vaishnadevyo Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhar, Sri Rasai Gaurabhakta, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama.
Tasmad artascha kamascha dharmascha yadapashrayaha vajataniha yatmanam aniham harimishra artascha kamascha dharmas. These are all plural. Arta, economic developments, kamas, desires, all plural. The ambitions for economic development, Prabhupada indicates. Asha pasha shatayar bhanta kama krota parayana ihante kama bhogartam anyanyena artasanchayam. This is the demonic mentality. Asha pasha shatayar bhanta. Asha means desires, aspirations, and pasha means ropes. Asha pasha shatayar. Shatayar means thousands. They have thousands of desires. Desires and desires and desires and desires. Wants and aspirations. And these are like ropes that bind them to material existence. Asha, pasha, bind them to hard work to get, satisfy my desires. I have to do so many things. Ashashat, pasha, shatayar, badha, kama, krodha, parayana. Parayana means to be after something. So we have, you know, someone's after a girl. So parayana means after something, aspiring, absorbed in that, focused. Parayana, right? Okay. Parayana. Just like we have Bhagavat parayana, absorbed in Krishna consciousness. So, kama krodha parayana. They're immersed in kama, material desires, and krodha, bitterness, anger, vengefulness, getting back at someone. If I can get something for myself, that's good. If I can stick it to someone else, that's good. Kama krodha parayana, absorbed in these things. What's that? Vayashuta, what is that? Shatru hanishe cha paranapi. He's my enemy and I've killed him, I'll kill my other enemies also. So my, something, Shatru.
Would you like the
book? Oh, always be good.
What are you looking for?
It's just a verse. So, kama krodha parayana.
absorbed in desire and anger.
Ihante kamabhogartam. In this way, they make this their goal of life, how to enjoy sense gratification to the maximum extent. Sometimes it's just right out there to turn a profit, to get money, to. And sometimes it's in some sort of subdued language, like, to be the most I can be. So maya hata hata, yeah. To be the most I can be. What does that mean, finally? Well, to get the most out of life. Well, what does that mean? It means sense gratification. Iyante kama bhogartha. This is their business. Kamopa bhoga padama. There's nothing more important than to be satisfied in life. To find satisfaction in life. To satisfy my senses. Ihante kama bhogartam anya yena artha sanchaya. And to accumulate money, sanchaya means accumulation, artha. And anyaya means by alternative means. Anya means a different or another. Anya yena, by alternative means, that is, by illicit means, by cheating, by doing something illegal, by doing something. Yes. And by hook or by crook, probably is to say. Anya yena artha sanchaya. Somehow or other, how to get money, how to get money, how to get money. So, this is their business. Artha, how to get money. Kama, how to satisfy desires and more desires. And karma, how to perform religious duties also. There's so many. Even the demons perform religious duties. What is that? Nama yajyaiste tambhena vidipurvakam. They perform religious duties that are religious in name only. It's for show, or it's for material advancement, it's to increase their prestige. There was one American politician who ran for president. His wife said, I knew that he decided to run when he called me and told me to get the kids ready for church. So, nama yajyaiste. They perform sacrifices or religious activities, but only in name. Or for some material advancement. They go to church, or they go to the mosque or the mandir with the idea that if I'm good, God will reward me. God will reward me. So again, it's basically sense gratification with God brought into the picture as my order supplier. That's better, at least, than those who leave God out of the picture. But the way that he comes into the picture is not in his real position, but as their order supplier. They're thinking, actually, they're servants of God, but they're thinking, God should serve me. God should serve me. My dear sir, give us this day our daily bread. And a new iPad, and this, and this, and that girl down the other side of the office, and this, and this, and this. But still they're considered pious. At least they're approaching God for these things. But Prahlad Maharaj points out that actually all of these things finally depend on the will of the Lord. The demons are thinking, I can just make a straight line for it. Those who go after it will get. Whatever you set your
even create your own reality. In your imagination. People create their own. I'd like to create my own reality where there's no death. It doesn't work that way. People write books, How to Create Your Own Reality, Think and Grow Rich. The author grows rich. But only because Krishna has allowed him to grow rich. So many others may write similar books and nothing. And someone else, just like that, comes to the top. They become Oprah. She became a big somebody. She was nobody, and she became somebody. And there are so many somebodies who also become nobodies. So it's up to Krishna, finally. Yada Pashraya. Pashraya means it dependent. It's dependent. The Karma Mimamsa philosophy is that everything depends on your work. You just do your work and you'll get the result. Do the work and you'll get the result. But it doesn't work. You do the work and you don't get a result. Or you don't do any result, any work, and you get the result. Your rich uncle leaves you a fortune. So the Karma Mimamsa philosophy is rejected. Finally, it depends on Hari Mishra, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who's the Supreme Controller, and who's also Hari, he takes away. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. When he likes, he gives. When he likes, he takes away. He makes someone great. He makes someone small. Finally, it depends on Krishna. Everything depends on Krishna. So, bhajataniha na atmanam. The Prahlad advises his friends, just perform your prescribed duties and engage in the devotional service of the Lord anihaya, without a desire to get something, without a desire to get some material results, or even moksha, even that spiritual result. The desire should be to satisfy the Lord. This is Bhagavata. Aniha means indifferently, without desire. I can be indifferent if I have no desire. If there's big, full plate of prasadam and I've already eaten, then I'm indifferent because I have no desire. So the Krishna conscious person is indifferent to material results because his desired result is to satisfy Krishna. Karmanye vadikaras te. Prabhupada, the usual translation is, do your duty and don't think that you're entitled to the result. Srila Prabhupada indicates here, do your duty and understand that the result is dependent on Krishna. It's not just that because I do my duty, the result will come. I have to do my duty, whether the result comes or doesn't come, or whether I like the result or don't like the result. Mm-hmm. Arjuna had to fight against his relatives and superiors. And he was not looking forward to the result. I have to kill my grandfather, I have to kill my guru, I have to kill so many friends and relatives. The result was not pleasing. But Krishna said, that's not your business to calculate whether I'll be happy by doing this. How will I enjoy Bhunjiya Bhogan, Rudhira Pratigdhan, all the things that I want to enjoy will be smeared with blood. How will I enjoy? Krishna says, that's not your business to enjoy. Your business is to perform your duty and not consider, will I enjoy, will I not enjoy, will I like the result, will I not like the result. The judge has to be indifferent. Or, what's the word?
Impartial?
Yeah, impartial is a specific word I'm thinking of, which Prabhupada usually uses to mean something else. Disinterested. Not uninterested, disinterested. He's impartial. The judge has to be impartial. Not that he's thinking, well, how should I decide this case? If I decide it this way, I could buy this property at a lower price. If I decide it that way, the plaintiff will give me this much in my pocket. He has to be disinterested, impartial, indifferent. Whatever the result, I just have to follow the law. Even if my relative comes before me, I have to award justice indifferently. And if I can't, I have to pull out. The king, he has to award justice regardless of whether he likes it, he doesn't like it, it's his duty. And we see that with the Vedic kings. That King Shibi protected a pigeon by sacrificing his own body. Who wants to sacrifice his body? But I've agreed to protect this pigeon, now it's my duty. And there are so many, what is that? When Vasudev handed over his first child to Kamsa, it's mentioned that nothing is too painful for a person of honor. A person of honor will make good on his word. That was Vasudev's reputation. That Kamsa accepted that he says he'll bring the child. Why? Because he's a man of his word. How can he be a man of his word? Because he holds principle above profit. He's not considering, I like it, I wouldn't like it. I've promised. Now it's my duty. Vamandev also, Bali Maharaj. I've promised this Brahmin his three steps of land, and I can't take back my word. Because the earth can tolerate anything, but it can't bear the weight of a liar. You can put mountains on it, you can put skyscrapers, but a liar, that's too much weight for the earth. I can't lie. I have to perform my duty. I've promised, I'll give. Mahapaleshu Kadachi. What the result may be, that's not my consideration. My consideration is, what is my duty? That's the whole Vedic principle. Not what do I like, what will make me happy, what feels good. What's my duty? The whole modern civilization is the opposite. If it feels good, just do it. It's all about following, what is that? Follow your dreams, follow your hearts, follow your bliss, follow your, whatever you feel like, that's the way to go. Why let anything stupid get in the way of that? That's the demonic civilization. Just follow your heart wherever it leads you. Whatever mode of nature, Vishatam to Mishram, just chew the chewed and head down to the lower regions of existence. Follow your bliss. But the Vedic culture is follow your duty, not your bliss, your so-called bliss. Which turns to We will play any rhyming games today. Karmanye Vadi Kardasya. Yeah? But it's not that I just perform my duty and that's it. Matkaroshi Yatkaroshi Yadashnashi Yatkaroshi Tadasiya Yat Tapasyasi Konteya Tat Purusha Madhapa. One has to perform one's duty for the satisfaction of Krishna. Vishnu Aradhana Panta Nanya Tatosha Kara. One has to satisfy Krishna. Otherwise, you get this typical Indian karmi philosophy that what is Bhagavad Gita? Do your duty only. Or you have to do your work. They don't even. You have to do your work. So if I'm working like an ass, then I'm very religious. I'm doing my duty only. That's all right. That's accommodated in Bhagavad Gita. If you can't do better, then at least follow some duty. But Krishna says, without attachment, I'm just doing my duty and collecting all the results for myself. Krishna says, if you can't engage in my service, then do your duty and give up the results. Because that will elevate you. What is that in the 12th chapter? Taitadapyashaktosi. There's a hierarchy. Mayeva mana adhatsva. Just fix your mind on me, fix your intelligence on me, you'll come to me, no doubt. Atachittam samadhata nashaknoshi mayistudam. Okay, you can't do that. You can't fix your mind on me. You can't fix your intelligence on me. Then, abhyasa yogena tato mamich chaptam dhanam. Then, follow, practice. Take up sadhana. Take up the practice of bhakti yoga so that you'll develop the desire to fix your mind on me. Abhyase pyasamartosi. Well, okay, you're not. You won't even practice. Mat karma paramopava. Then, work for me. We have friends. They can't get it together to chant two rounds a day. They can't get it together to wake up early in the morning, but they do service. They come to the temple and they do service, or they bring something to the deities, or they're working outside and doing something for spreading Krishna consciousness or helping the temple. They have no sadhana, but they have the idea, they've got it, let me serve Krishna. That much is there. Then Krishna says, madartam api karmani kurvan siddhim avapasi. You gradually become perfect by doing that. Ataitad apyashaktosi kartam madyogam ashatama sarva karma palatyagam tata guru yadadita. If you can't do that, then practice this. Give up the results of your work. Do your work. Give to charity. Give to some good cause. Don't keep it. Because if you follow this, gradually you'll come to the next stage, next stage, next stage. Finally you'll come to the stage. Just sarva dharma pratyajama. Best thing is directly to surrender to Krishna. Then, if not that, practice to surrender to Krishna. If not that, work for Krishna. If not that, work and give up the results. If not that, then just be a dog. So, the Prahlad Maharaj is advising his friends. He's instructed them how we're changing from body to body, lifetime to lifetime. Tasmat, therefore, my dear friends, you should take to Krishna consciousness
and fully engage in devotional service, depending on Krishna in all your activities. Okay, what comments, questions?
So you were mentioning earlier that we should desire to please Krishna in our activities. So how do we know that our activities are pleasing to Krishna?
Yes. First, you have to follow the instructions of Krishna and the instructions of the bona fide spiritual master.
Then we can be sure.
Yeah. You can be sure the other way. If I'm not following Krishna's instructions, if I'm disobeying the orders of the spiritual master, what kind of pleasure is that? And I can be confident that because I'm carrying out the instructions of the spiritual masters, carrying out Krishna's orders, sooner or later Krishna will be pleased. Not exactly automatically, that because I'm mechanically doing these things, but because I'm following, gradually I'm sure I'll come to the right point.
Rama Roy.
Where is Rama Roy?
Hiding.
Hare Krishna, hiding.
Just follow your bliss, follow your desire. That's what you should do. So sometimes, actually, a lot of times on the Harinam, people will come over and say, something told me that I had to come here today. I'd never seen you guys before, but you know, so that type of miraculous thing happens sometimes.
Yeah.
People follow their desire in the right way.
But it's unreliable. But one day they come to Union Square following their heart, and then they meet you. But next week they follow their heart and they meet Susie, you know, and it's a whole different story. That it's unreliable. My heart is not pure. So sometimes the heart leads me in the right direction, sometimes it leads me in the wrong direction, sometimes it confuses me, sometimes it's affected by goodness, sometimes by passion, sometimes by ignorance. If the heart were reliable, then we should all just follow our hearts and go back to Godhead. When we purify the heart, then the heart becomes reliable. The heart is directed toward Krishna, the heart is dedicated to service of Krishna and the spiritual master, then you follow your heart, you're going in the right direction. But when the heart is contaminated, then the heart says, well, it's only one cup of tea. The heart says, it's only, you know, I don't do this very often. Well, I'm chanting, so you know, it's not so bad.
On your own.
The following of the heart is almost a religious principle amongst the unenlightened and uneducated, because they feel that the heart is on a higher level than the mind or the intellect. There's something divine. They feel that, they sense that connection to divinity through the heart. But if the heart, if their heart were so true and so correct in its advice and direction, why do we have so many divorces? Why do we have so many disasters in love life? You know, all of the love life, even those we sometimes see, the movie stars, they make a movie, and the movie ending is just so uplifting because the boy meets the girl and it all works out and all of the obstacles are overcome and the music changes from, you know, confusing and disconsonant to harmonious and uplifting. It goes to the major keys and where everything's joyful, and so we feel very happy at the end of the movie, and then we read the next day in the newspaper or the magazine that the same movie star has just jumped from one relationship to another or from one drug problem to the next, and so, you know, what's happened? So where is the heart lead?
They get those guys who shoot up a schoolroom, you know. They could catch them. Well, Your Honor, I was just following my bliss. There was one guy, this is before your time, he was murdering people. And his
he was mad. He said that his dog was telling him to do it.
Son of Sam.
Yeah. His dog was telling him to do it. He was listening. People hear voices. People, their hearts tell them to do. What was Stalin doing? He's following his heart. What was Hitler doing? He's following his heart. Pol Pot, what was he doing? Following his heart. Everyone follows their heart.
Because there's so little intellect, actually.
Yeah. You were talking about, like, you can't do this, do that, can't do this, do that. So I have friends sometimes who I knew from growing up who ask me, like, for some advice sometimes, but whenever I tell them, you know, you should surrender to Krishna, it doesn't work out. So then I try to say, well, at least try to do it for God, for Krishna. And then, but then it seems like you said, if you can't do that, then just live like a dog. Is that it? Is that pretty much, if you can't do any of those things, it's just...
Yeah, there's actually a section in Srimad Bhagavatam where it says, the advice is given that for a certain class of men, the advice is that you should just go pig out on sense gratification. It's like, eat till you puke.
That was Rajneesh. That was his...
That was his philosophy.
Philosophy. Mm-hmm.
Then they'll learn the lesson if they puke enough.
It's for the lowest class of men. No other advice will be heard. So how about this? Eat till you puke. Sounds good. But that's not the advice we give.
What is the advice we can give?
If you, of course, surrender to Krishna, but he can't accept, no, why don't you read this book, try the chanting, come to the program.
He's done all of that. He's done all of that.
Come again. Not, but if you came the first time, that's good, then you can come the second time. So come, chant. It's not that it will do some service. We're discussing our Jayananda Prabhu, how he engaged people in service. You just hand them a hammer and say, we're pretty good at that. I mean, he's building about the Yatrakar. He didn't set out to build a Ratiyatrakar. He didn't consider that this is devotional service and by this I'll make advancement. Mm-hmm. But a devotee engaged him. Mm-hmm. So you can see, you know how to do this? You know how to do this? You know anything about this? Can you help me out with this? Mm-hmm. Gradually become purified.
Is it true that we are trying to make connection here between modes of iniquity and nature and the desire for dharma, the kama moksha? Is there a connection between mode of goodness and having no desires at all? Like, because they're conditioned by what they're doing when they...
Yeah, goodness is, the desires are the piety shanta rajasam are cooled down. The big desire mode is passion. Kama, vikama, the desires and more desires. The lobha pravrittir aranta. From the mode of passion comes greed and intense work and thirst. Trishna, sangha samudra. Just desire and desire. If the cover says a passionate novel, you know it's all going to be about those things. So, and mode of ignorance, there's not much desire. You can't even get it together to have desires. Just like whatever hits me, you know, I mean, I just do whatever. When I wake up in the morning and hardly... they're unemployable because they don't have desires. The person in the mode of passion is desiring. He wants a promotion. He wants more pay. He wants. He's a good guy to work for you. Guy in the mode of ignorance doesn't bother to come in. Okay, you're fine. You're so open. And the worst things happen to me in my life. In the mode of goodness, one satvam sanjayate again, knowledge develops. So he has desires, he's still in material existence, but his desires are diminished, and he desires knowledge. He desires purification. His desires are simple. Not that he has no desires, otherwise he'd be a liberated soul. Mm. But his desire is diminished.
Thank you.
What is that? Tadara rajas tamo bhava kama lopada yasya chaita tayana vittam. Sitting. Sattva prasiddha. Kama, lobha, these things belong to passion, especially.
Yeah. Could you explain something in the translation? It said something like, we should depend on the disposition.
Mm-hmm.
What was that phrase? I don't remember.
Yeah, depend on the disposition of the Supreme Lord. Disposition has two meanings. Prabhupada doesn't, it's not that the Sanskrit doesn't tell you which one is intended. One disposition is the mentality. Someone is favorably disposed or unfavorably disposed. So that's one kind of disposition. When Krishna's pleased, he'll give you something. When he's displeased, you won't. Depend on his disposition. Another meaning of disposition is how you dispose of something, how you settle the matter. The disposition in the case was that how you settle it. So it comes to the same thing. Finally, it's up to Krishna. As he likes it, as he chooses to settle the matter, that's the way it's going to go. And there's nothing you can do about it. Might as well go along with it.
Back to the modes question and this progressive elevation. Mm. There's a quote where Prabhupada says, that's why the purpose of our society is to bring people to the mode of goodness. Mm. So in practically seeking to do that, do we have any business teaching habits of the mode of goodness without the mention of Krishna for those that don't have any interest in Krishna?
No.
Or is our program...
No, then we'd be a mundane welfare society. Help people get off drugs. Help people stop drinking. Help people stop this. Help people stop that. Help people control their this. Help people control their that. There's no end to that. There's no end to it. If you help them with this problem, they got that problem. Yeah, well, with that problem, they got another problem. And okay, there needs to be done, and there are organizations to do it. Alcoholics Anonymous, Sexaholics Anonymous, this one, that one. Temperance Society. But our program is to spread Krishna consciousness, which these other people aren't doing. And when Krishna consciousness is there, automatically he stops drinking, automatically he stops smoking, automatically he stops this and that. Visiting prostitutes, stops this, stops that. One stroke method. Otherwise, if we just preach the mode of goodness, that we've lost it. Then join one of those humanitarian societies, because that's not what Krishna consciousness is. Make this a better world. It's not going to be a better world. It's a lousy world.
There's a lot of themes of bridging to Krishna. thoughts aren't like, you know, a lot of people say, oh, we don't want to shoot Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita, we want to make our own Bhagavad Gita that's kind of good for the world, and, you know, and they'll be willing to take to it more this way. And there's so many things of this nature that's been implemented, and I was just wondering what your thoughts are. Do you find it of value? Do you think it's maybe counterproductive? Are we losing?
Well, good for the world. And there, let's separate the two things.
Yeah.
Or three things or four things. Let's start with Bhagavad Gita. It's not that this can be this has to be the last Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavad Gita as it is, and no other. Other devotees can also give commentary on Bhagavad Gita. Baladev Vidyabhushan wrote a commentary on Bhagavad Gita. His spiritual master, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, also wrote commentary on Bhagavad Gita. There's so many commentaries. Even Prabhupada, Pradyumna Prabhu asked Prabhupada one time, when you finish the Bhagavatam, what will you do next? What book will you do next? Prabhupada said, maybe Bhagavad Gita. Mm-hmm. Prabhupada, you've already done Bhagavad Gita. No, that was only one. There could be so many. So it's not inherently wrong that for a disciple or follower to write another commentary, maybe from a different, with a different approach or a different purpose, same purpose ultimately, but coming from a different, in a different way. That's not wrong. Now, but if it's just to make this a better world or to make people happy or to help people practice yoga or something, that's a different thing.
Yeah.
But if their purpose is how to make people Krishna conscious and they're writing in a different way, that's sort of. As for bridging, what do you mean by bridging?
Well, for example, the little theme is, I remember we were thinking about doing a rock thing, the Warp Tour, and music, and we read somewhere Prabhupada said, regarding this activity, stop this immediately, and people get the wrong idea. But you see this taking place, one temple, they have a rock band, even Sunday feast, and you know, you hear, or just we're gonna have Yahatha Yoga in the temple room Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, you know, just attract some people, and eventually they'll take a Christian. You know, there's so many things in this way, I guess that's what I'm referring to, is, and we kind of, if we just do straight.
Well, a bridge is a structure to get a person from one side of a body of water to another side. So the first thing is, the bridge has to have two sides to it. It has to have the, you know, the Manhattan side and the Brooklyn side. If it starts out in Brooklyn and it goes halfway across the East River, that doesn't really...
Can't be a bridge to nowhere.
Can't be a bridge to nowhere. So the bridge has to get you across. From that point of view, if you have a strategy and people come to Krishna consciousness as a result, then we have to say, well, people came to Krishna consciousness. In Taiwan, Tamal Krishnamaraj started that way. Yoga Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Yoga every day. Because it's a communist society or very different society, and we have to think how we're going to bring people in the door. So we'll teach yoga. So they taught yoga. But the result was that people became devotees. That was the point. Bhakti Tirthamaraj used to do all sorts of outrageous things. But the result was that people became Krishna conscious. Mm. If you try this, and this, and people don't become Krishna conscious, then it's a waste of time.
It's not good.
Then, apart from that, we see that the original strategies are sometimes the most effective. The people come up with all these sort of sideways, oblique, different sophisticated ways of bringing people to Krishna consciousness. And what works? Going out to Union Square, chanting and dancing. So sometimes we're so busy trying to figure out how to spread Krishna consciousness that we forget how to spread Krishna consciousness.
Yeah.
Part of our daily activity, we're reading from Satsvrup Marge's daily journal, and for the last 6 or 8 months or so, one of the sections is all about Hayana.
Mm-hmm.
He does a drawing. Maybe if you like, you can read. It's very short.
Today's drawing shows three men dancing and chanting with upraised arms. They are deeply absorbed in Hari Nam. Chanting Hare Krishna is easy and blissful to perform. It is a shame that most of the world's population doesn't do it, since it is the only means to attain love of God in the age of Kali. How important it is, then, that parties of Hare Krishna devotees all over the world go out in public, in populated cities, and deliver the holy names to the people. They should not think that their efforts are insignificant. By their daily appearance, thousands of people are being exposed to the holy name. They are making a tremendous impact. Imperceptible auspiciousness is brought to the world, and disasters are prevented by the chanting of the holy name.
I speak one when you were mentioning about Vasudev keeping his word and bringing his children to Kamsa. I was curious if, because can't you, in protecting someone's life, can't you tell something false?
You can, but Vasudev was known to be a man of his word, and it was a promise. It was understood from the beginning that this means you're going to kill my kid. He knew that. But he said, all right, I'll do it. Anyway, Kamsa would have come and done it anyway.
Well, he was trying, in that promise, he was avoiding the death of his wife.
Devaki. So to save Devaki, I'll sacrifice the children. That's the idea, and who knows what may happen.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's my point. I mean, you say, yeah, I'll do it. You say whatever you need to do to protect Devaki, and then you do.
And then don't do it.
Yeah
sure.
But in protecting someone's life, not in neglecting duty.
Yeah, you can do anything. But Vasudev is ideal that he followed his word. And the trouble is that everybody becomes a relativizer. Everybody makes a promise and says, yeah, but actually it's more important that, you know, my wife won't be. She'll kill me if she finds out that I promised to do this. And if I do this, then I'll lose my car. If I do this, then this person will think that I'm a this. If I do that, then I won't be able to buy this. And if I do this, then I'll be unhappy. And what's more important? If I'm unhappy, then I won't be able to function. And if I can't function, then everything goes down so that my happiness can't be discarded. So finally, everything becomes just, the mind is busy working up the reasons why you said this, but really you should do this. You may have said, just like Shukracharya, yeah, you promised, but you didn't say home. Doesn't count. The mind is like a lawyer, you know? It's always just looking for a loophole. Even I was seeing some article a long time ago regarding theft, and the biggest theft was by employees. And the employees, generally speaking, they intended to give it back. You know, there's some lady, she's been working for 10 years for the company, and she's short of cash, so she borrows a little something with the idea that she'll give it back. And she borrows a little more, and she's going to give it back. And now she's been borrowing for 5 years, but she's going to give it back. So people all have mental structures that justify whatever their program is. If
finally, the accountant comes and looks at it and says, hey, she's been embezzling, you know, $25,000. And he speaks to, well, I intended to give it back.
I'm just saving the question for someone like yourself. It's not so related. What does it mean to be, oh, it says, to fall in the footsteps of an eternal associate of Krishna?
Means to render service.
And that, that eternal associate of Krishna would be the Prabhupada. How should I view that? Is that who is that person?
First thing is that the spiritual master is supposed to be the representative of Krishna. Mm-hmm. So we should follow in the footsteps of the spiritual master. What is that? One should follow in the footsteps of the spiritual master. Or Mahajanaya Nagatasa Panta. One should follow in the footsteps of the great souls. Lord Brahma, Nard Muni, Lord Shiva, Prahlad, Janak Maharaj, Bhishma Dev, Kali Maharaj, Sadhu. Therefore we're hearing of their activities in Srimad Bhagavatam, so we can follow in their footsteps. We should try to follow in the footsteps of Prahlad Maharaj, Bali Maharaj, the Mahajans, Mahajanayena Gatasapanta. Ultimately, in the advanced stage, Krishna has his eternal associates in Vrindavan. One becomes attracted to a particular kind of service and wants to follow in the footsteps of the eternal devotee who's doing that. That's in the advanced stage. If we try to jump into that, will it's like jumping into a swimming pool with no water in it. Crack your head. That's why you see so many people with cracked heads these days. Okay. Stop here. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna.